You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
With Associate Professor Dr. Lara Greaves. Kia ora, Lara. How are you this morning?
Kia ora. Yeah. Cold and tired.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like many New Zealanders, the vibe is a bit off, isn't it? How are you?
Oh, the vibe is so off right now. It is absolutely hectic out there. There's so much to talk about that's going on today. Budget day, of course. There's also huge hikoi and strike action that's happening across the country around Te Tiriti. Let's start with that. If people have somehow missed it, what's been the call and what is happening across the motu today?
So a group, Toitū Te Tiriti, who are a group of Māori who, you know, want to stand up for the treaty, have called a sort of national day of action or strike action today just around the fact that, you know, it is budget day, so people will be paying attention to politics, and that probably this budget's not going to be great for Māori. And also there's been all sorts of other kind of reforms around child welfare and just like the fast-track legislation and pretty much every law. There is Māori disagreement with it. So Te Pāti Māori are also on board, and they're calling for various kind of protests, including what they're calling kākoi, which is a hikoi, you know, like a protest action, and driving in your car slow, that kind of idea, and a few in-person kind of marches and get-togethers. So they've kind of called on people to turn up, really. And for some people, this may mean taking the day off work. There's been debate in the media over whether this constitutes an actual strike, which, of course, it's not really an actual strike, but I think people can use the word strike if they want. There's international precedent for this because in Iceland a couple of times all of the women have gone on strike over things like gender inequality and misogyny. So it's not technically a strike, but yeah, it's kind of a protest, and people can turn up if they want to, really, based on their own personal circumstances. I mean, you know, like some people will have work, some people's employers will be like, yeah, all good, go. It just kind of depends.
So last time we saw, a snap action like this organised by Toitū Te Tiriti and also kind of co-signed by Te Pāti Māori, it was very successful. It was a really big turnout of people, and it made a very, strong impact visually as well as perhaps in the discussion. What do you think it says that this kind of speedy turnaround is possible at the moment for like a mass protest action?
Well, I think there's quite a few different ways you can respond to the way the government is acting, and I think that for some Māori, for some people, it's just working within whatever systems, you know, it's you're doing your public submissions, it's still sitting on those committees, it's, you know, like just those sort of basic actions of just continuing on as normal, but making sure that when you're on in that position of relative power or writing that submission that you expressed your distaste and opposition to what they're doing. The other options, I guess, just kind of checking out. And I think that, you know, part of that, I always keep joking, oh, move to Australia. But it is something like that, you know, it's moving to Australia, it's going overseas, it's like just continuing on as normal or just ignoring it all. And then, of course, the other option is to show up and to, like, put your body within a space, really. Mm. And, you know, the thing with protests is that one thing that makes them impactful is the visuals, are showing up en masse and in great numbers, are blocking something or standing or walking over the harbour bridge or that, all of those sorts of things. That's what makes for an effective protest. So we'll see, really, won't we, what happens today and whether this continues throughout this government, of course. It's something that we might have not necessarily expected before the last election that we would see widespread Māori protest, but this seems to be what's shaping up this term.
Totally. It will be really interesting to see what comes out of today in terms of discussions and actions as well. And it is, of course, budget day. It's also the last possible day that the government could do the budget, which is an interesting thing in and of itself. What is this normal that we sort of wait right up until the very last possible day to get it out there, or is there precedent for this? What's your read on that, I guess?
Well, it hasn't been. Generally, since I've been sort of in my job last sort of 10 years, mostly it's been in the middle of May. It always is like on the day of my child's birthday. So I remember, I'm like, damn, I've got to take you out for lunch or dinner or whatever, but no, I've got to do budget stuff. So it is quite late. And I think that creates interesting risks for National because people One of the reasons that people voted for National, we know from the data, is that National are viewed as good economic managers. And also there was this kind of promise of a tax cut and like some kind of relief, was the word that they've been using, for especially middle-income households. And it's been quite a while now. You know, they've been in government for quite a while. We keep hearing, oh, yeah, this tax relief coming, it's coming. So today is the day. Most of these things normally get put in place from, say, 1st of July. But, this is that thing that I think a lot of people are waiting to see, is that how big that's going to be. That's been a lot of the debates in the media. And ultimately, like, I've been reading a piece by Professor Richard Shaw this morning, who's been talking, he's a politics professor, he's been talking about the need for National to kind of break away from the coalition a bit, to kind of distinguish themselves and be seen as kind of understanding and reinvigorate their brand so they look like they're really governing. So that's, I think, a key challenge for Nicola Willis and for National today, is to, yeah, just have done kind of what we thought that they would do and what they said that they would do. Yeah, that's the key challenge now.
No frills budget, that's what we're hearing from Nicola Willis. What does that mean, or what do you think that might mean?
Well, I think they've been quite clear that they're concerned about balancing deficit and returning to surplus. So there's that whole bigger picture thing around the economy to make sure that the economy is in good shape. But then they've also kind of promised these tax cuts, and actually a lot of the economists are quite sceptical about the tax cuts as whether they will be inflationary and affect things like interest rates and whether they will create more issues. So it's basically about balancing a whole bunch of different considerations there. Mm. I would say it's even worse than no frills in a way, though, because there have been a number of cuts. We know that thousands of jobs in the public service have gone. We know that some of those jobs are starting to affect the front line. Some of those contractors that no longer have contracts also were working on the front line in roles like psychologists and in education. So we know that there's actually probably more than just no frills. It's no frills plus have taken something out of the tin as well.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it. But, you know, so much about this, and this is why, like, I'm busy with commentary today, is about the politics of it.
Mm.
It's about the social perceptions of it and the public opinion of it rather than the actual financial realities.
Yeah, totally. On that, before we let you go, we've also heard from Nicola Willis that this is not going to be an austerity budget, which is very specific language. But what does that actually kind of mean in terms of perception, and also in terms of, I guess, what you know, that's setting up an expectation of as a budget?
Well, one of the interesting historical comparisons is what's always been called the mother of all budgets, and it was by another female finance minister, Ruth Richardson, in 1991. And that budget, like, just wholesale cut a bunch of benefits, a bunch of things that created quite a lot of economic pain, especially for Māori and especially for women and wahine Māori, including cuts to sole parent benefits and cuts to things like the last dying bits of the universal family benefit.
Yeah.
And just really reduced the size of state involvement in things like welfare. So we're not seeing something like that, and that's a comparison that naturally people have gone to. So we're not seeing things like that, but we still are seeing a relative cutback in some things, because one thing to watch, of course, is we all know about inflation. Like, we've finally learned about inflation, my generation. We're like, oh, look. So the thing with inflation is that if you're not increasing spending in an area to match inflation, it's pretty much a cut. So that's one thing to watch here, is that when you start to see certain payments not be indexed properly, or not increase with the increase in the cost of living, that's where you actually do see it's a touch of austerity, but not those sort of wholesale 1991 huge cutbacks.
Austerity light. We'll see what comes out. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much, Lara, for speaking with us. I know it's going to be a very busy day for you chatting away, so we appreciate your time this morning, and we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Thanks.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.